Moving away from Harps and into Derry, Declan Devine's Candy Stripes qualified for the qualifying round of the Europa League next season. Their 4-0 win over Harps at the end of the campaign ensured that they finished fourth in the Premier Division. Declan Devine back at City for another spell. He brought in a number of players to assist him on and off the field, and he has been fully praised for all those involved that got them to the finish of the season, which secured European football. Now, Martin Holmes, Derry City correspondent, he spoke with Declan Devine after the final game of the season at the Brandywell Stadium.
Declan, they say you never go back for a second spell at a club, and that's obviously lies now.
Well, my heart's not telling me that at the moment. My blood pressure's not telling me that, but listen, it's a club that's close to my heart. It's a club I've supported all my life, and when Derry City comes knocking on the door, you don't turn it down. So just over the moon with that for the players, for the rest of the staff at the club, for the office staff, for the council staff that work here, and the people that's travelled all right throughout Ireland with us this year. We're just over the moon, but you know, it's a special club, special people involved in it. You know, as a football club, we represent our people, and we fight for our people. Our people fight for the city, and you know, they've dug us through in games this year where we found it very difficult, and ultimately we've got the job done tonight.
You brought in a mountain of ex-players, ex-Derry City players, to help you in the background, and you relied on them so much, and you praise them so much.
Brilliant.
Not that you couldn't have done it without them, but having boys who've been here before, played for the club and know what it's about, obviously rubs off on the new guys.
It definitely does. Look, the people we brought to the club are legends, in my opinion, of the club. People that have served their time as players, but magnificent people. People that have a lot to offer coming back. They've spent a lot of time getting coaching awards and qualifications. So, you know, it's good people here. The secret to me in any successful team building exercise is get good people. When you've good people, you've half a chance. And, you know, if you work as hard as these guys do, then obviously success should come. But you know, tonight it was about courage as well. It was about, you know, soaking up the criticism we talk on Tuesday night. And that's the one thing about these guys all year. They've took our defeats on the chin and come back for a wee bit more. So I'll never ever question their attitude or their application. But I think it's testimony tonight. It's not about me. It's not about just the players. It's about the whole working environment at the football club. And that's the most pleasing aspect. When I sit back and reflect in the next couple of days, I just think it's like a well-oiled machine, this place this year. Everybody's pulling in the one direction, and the positivity from the place has been magnificent. And that's from the supporters to the very, very youngest player.
That's Declan Devine, the Derry City manager, speaking after the final game of the season, which was a 4-0 victory over Finn Harps. Keith Cowan, we're not going to talk about the results that night from a Harps point of view, but from a Derry point of view, it turned out to be quite a year for them, securing European football. They would have took that at the start of the campaign.
Yeah, look, maybe if you're looking for some kind words on Derry, you might want to speak to somebody else, but I suppose, you know, what they have achieved with such a young squad, you know, was a credit to them. You know, the work that they've done, you know, Declan Devine come back in, there's still a lot of passion in them. You know, Paddy McCourt joined the coaching staff, you know, Sean Holmes, you know, both spent a bit of time at Harps there, and you know, I suppose, yeah, what they have done, getting a lot of young lads in, you know, Derry lads in, and getting them playing, and you know, instilling that sort of, as I say, that homegrown sort of, you know, passion and fight that you need to start off with as maybe a basis, and then adding a bit of quality to that. I suppose we saw, you know, we were on the receiving end maybe a few times this year with results. The first one early on in the season, you know, that was a real war of attrition, I suppose. Maybe, you know, a couple of players that maybe jumped the bridge and went to the other side, and you know, it was a tasty affair. And you know, you could,
you're gonna miss them, are you?
Oh, definitely, absolutely. Yeah. Like those games, you know, there's no team talks needed for those games. There's no, you know, from training all week is, you know, it's like a cup final, you know, for both teams. And I know someone mentioned in a newspaper article earlier on in the year that it was a huge game for Harps, and it was just another game for Derry. And I think when Derry maybe got the better of us that night, you could see what it meant to them. Mm-hmm. Their players, their manager down celebrating with their fans, you know, spent a lot of time, you know, punching the air and, you know, beating chests and stuff like that there. So you can see what it means to those, to Derry, and, you know, to have Harps, you know, staying up in the Premier League, and to having that fixture next year is brilliant for the league, and, you know, brilliant for the two counties. Yeah.
Chris, it's been a good year for Derry City. Secure European football. They lost out in the EA Sports Cup final against Dundalk. That was on penalties. And if you even look at their league games as well, they weren't too far away from taking victory against the champions.
Yeah, they had a couple of good results in the league against Dundalk. Couldn't just beat them, but certainly gave Dundalk a good game. And, you know, once again, Dundalk, hats off to them. They've been the dominant side in recent years. And, of course, Shamrock Rovers, the so-called cup specialists, they hadn't won the cup since the 1980s, and they've come good again. So, you know, at the top, it's going to be the same next year. Dundalk and Rovers, definitely the big two there. Derry, you know, they're in that next sort of tier of clubs. Bohemians probably overachieved given their budget. They'd a great year. So, you know, it's a very interesting league, and as Keith knows only too well, you know, when there's only 10 teams in it and you're playing each other four times, you know, the margins can be so thin.
Yeah, Burnfoot's Georgie Kelly is part of that Dundalk team, joining the likes of Michael Duffin and Patrick McIlhenny. Your thoughts on Dundalk, Keith?
Oh, well, I suppose, you know, over the last few years.
You kind words to say about them.
one or two. I'm not going to get carried away with those lads either. Look, what they have at their disposal is unreal. You know, the type of players that they can keep bring in. You know, they're bringing lads home. You know, they have been at top clubs like Chelsea and, you know, and Celtic and stuff like that. So, you know, they're attracting a high caliber player. You know, they've got their European place again this year, you know, well deserved. They've got, you know, they've got two top quality players in every position, you know, and, you know, like we spoke about Georgie Kelly there, who I think is going to have an excellent career in the League of Ireland. You know, I played against him a few times this year, and, you know, he's a big strapping centre forward, and, you know, he's another option that they can go to when maybe things aren't working out. And but, you know, the likes of, as we said, you know, we alluded there to Duffy, we spoke about him, the quality that he has. You know, you've seen his goal in the final against Shamrock Rovers. You know, he scored a couple of great goals throughout there. Patrick McIlhenny as well, you know, another excellent player for them. So they've got guys all over the pitch that can do you a lot of damage. And, you know, I suppose that whole, I'm not going to be crying about the whole full-time setup again, but, you know, when you're working stuff, you know, day in, day out, set pieces, attacking them, defending them, you know, phases of play, you know, that stuff can be crucial to get your results when you need them.
Okay, then your final piece with us, I'm just going to nip back into the Irish League. Institute gained promotion back to the top flight in 2018 and successfully maintained their Premier Division status earlier in the year. A victory over Northwest rivals Coleraine in late March ensured that they stayed out of the relegation zone and would remain in the Premiership for another campaign. This current campaign, they're under former Sligo Rovers, Dundalk Bohemians and Galway United manager Sean Connor. He was appointed in August after Paddy McLaughlin had went to take over Cliftonville, who have been playing some excellent football. But Stoot, they're fighting away at the bottom of the table. They've had a couple of bad results in recent games. They did take a big result against Coleraine earlier in the month of December. But it's just like what Harps had to do in the League of Ireland. Institute are looking to stay in the top flight of the Irish League, and the tasks are very much similar. It's a hard thing to do, and Stoot are fighting away there, Keith.
They are, yeah. You know, they picked up a couple of results, as you mentioned there. I know it was a big win against Coleraine, and I think they took a point off Glentoran as well, yeah, maybe a couple of weeks before that. So, you know, like they'll look to, I suppose, use the, you know, the fact that they're training all the time, maybe on the AstroTurf pitches. I know there's a couple of AstroTurf pitches in the league. I think Cliftonville have won and Larne have won and themselves. So, you know,
does that make a big difference?
I think when you're training on them constantly, yeah, you know, and you know, you can work on things. You can be more comfortable on the ball, yeah, at times. You know, does it make a huge difference? I suppose maybe not. As in, you know, every club has access to an AstroTurf facility somewhere, yeah, and if they're going to play a team that has that on their home ground, then they'll probably train them that all week. So those guys will be fairly comfortable on it too. I think young Turish is up there from Letterkenny. So
Turish, yeah,
so he's doing really well. I watched a few of the games. You know, it's I suppose you see the highlights and stuff, and you know, he has been doing really well. So best luck to him. And I suppose, you know, Stuart are one of those clubs a little like ourselves in the Irish League. They're going to be you know, they're going to be fighting for every point they can get, and you know, hopefully they can stay up and keep their Premier League status as well.
Okay, many thanks for coming on today to join us, Keith.
Thanks very much.
It's been a pleasure.
Cheers.
You're still fighting fit, ready to go?
Yes.
Good shape?
Yeah, well, we're still trying, you know, so it's tie injury free. Like I say, you know, it's a sort of constant thing of the few injuries that I had before, and you're sort of, you know, you're always trying to stay on top of those and, you know, try and get as much gym work done as you can, and, you know, just be ready to go when called upon.
Okay, we wish the best of luck with Glentoran in 2020.
Cheers, Alex.
Okay, Keith Cowan, former Fun Harps player, our guest on this hour, joining us in studio to talk about everything League of Ireland and indeed Irish League as well. Chris Ashmore, big year for Glengad United.
Absolutely. After sparkling in the Inishowen League, a very small club, tight bond amongst the players. They had a great run in the Junior Cup and then in the FAI Senior Cup. On the way, of course, they beat Home Farm, who won the FAI Cup as a League of Ireland club back in 1974. And they eventually ended up hosting Waterford at McGinn Park, and Waterford Premier Division club coming up to Donegal. Not unexpectedly, Waterford won 2-0 and there was a gap there. But, you know, you have to really give huge praise to all involved with Glengad, you know, to get into the big time of the Cup. It was a great occasion for them, and no doubt something all the players will certainly remember. And, you know, no surprise afterwards, Shane Byrne, the manager of Glengad, he was full of praise for his side and disappointed with the goals that they conceded. You know, he felt maybe they could have got something out of it.
We always knew they were going to have a lot of possession of the ball, and that's the way it worked out. But our shape was good. We limited them to you know, very few chances. And the longer the game went on, we always thought we were going to get a chance. You know, I didn't think 2-0 was a fair result, in fairness with you. I think the two goals that I got were two mistakes from us. One was a header that two of our players ran into one another. No communication, bad header out, and Michael O'Connor must have it. I said he studs into the back of the net and missed about 10 players. But the second one, we had possession of the ball, and Stevie played just a slack pass and he intercepted it and scored. You get punished at that level if you make mistakes, but 75 minutes or 70 minutes, we were well on it, 0-0, and you always thought, listen, we'll get a chance. We did get a chance towards the end with a header that was cleared off the line. But listen, we put on a very, very good performance where our shape was good. We're very disciplined in what we did, and I'm delighted with the performance. Just two mistakes. They're in the three-quarter way through their season. We're in our pre-season, so fitness was always going to command it. And it definitely did. I mean, both goals were tired legs and tired minds, you know. But very, very proud of the boys.
That was Shane Byrne, Glengad United manager, speaking to Chris Ashmore after their journey in the Irish Senior Cup. Okay, Jeremy Doherty, Coghill Celtic, winners of the Ulster Senior League again for a seventh successive year. Any stop on the boys from Inishowen?
Yeah, you just wonder, is there Oisín? Gavin Cullen continues to produce the goods down there. He has this knack of organising his squad and replacing players that come and go, and it looks like he's got a decent squad there again for the season. Last year, as you say, a seventh successive Ulster Senior League title, which is so impressive. They secured that title with a 2-0 win over Harps Reserves. Peter Doherty and Jerry Gill with the goals for Coghill on that occasion. But they were denied a seventh league and cup double by Letterkenny Rovers. Eamon McConaghy's side winning the Donegal News League Cup final 3-1 with BJ Banda, the match winner, with two goals after Coghill had come back in that game to make it one apiece. But then Banda popped up with the winning strikes. And Bunnaghy United were crowned Knock Alla Caravans Cup winners after a 3-0 win over Glengad United. You were talking about Glengad and the success they enjoyed at local and on the national stage as well. Well, they did ever so well to get to that Knock Alla Caravans Cup decider, but goals from Jordan Armstrong, Michael Doherty and Ryan Rainey helped Bunnaghy to a 3-0 victory.
Listen, there's been a number of players, Ryan, that have went cross-channel and are currently playing cross-channel, but one man that played Ulster Senior League with Swilly Rovers, is it right to say? Ronan Curtis. He's been, then he went to Derry City, then he went to Portsmouth, and particularly this last month or so, he's been in fine fettle, so he has, and he's been among the goals as well. But Ronan Curtis, playing his trade very well, along with Portsmouth.
Yeah, he's done fantastic for himself to forge a very good career over there, and you know, he's looking to move up through the ranks and, you know, coming into the Stephen Kenny era with Ireland too, he'll hope to be involved with that. And of course, at the start of the year, he was named the under 21 player of the year at the FAI Awards in Dublin. And then later in September, he made his first senior international for Ireland in a 3-1 win over Bulgaria at the Vivia Stadium. Club football, as you said, at the start of the year, he was in flying form with Portsmouth and had success in Wembley in the Checkered Trade Trophy final, and they beat Sunderland on penalties, and very impressive. And I suppose they were probably disappointed not to go up via the playoffs then, and you know, maybe the goal straight up a little bit, but he really hit form again in November and was named League One PFA Fans Player of the Month, following a string of impressive performances for Portsmouth, in which he scored 4 times in 6 games. And they're currently 9th in the league, so they'll be looking to push on and maybe get into the playoffs and hopefully go one better this time.
Yeah, he's another former Derry City player. All the talks about David Parkhouse this week, that he could be going to Celtic. Now, we've seen Paddy McCourt go to Celtic. Michael Duffy went to Celtic. Niall McGinn went to Celtic, all from Derry. Ronan Curtis is playing his trade cross-Chancellor. There's a nice conveyor belt there coming out of the Brandywell.
Yeah, there definitely is. Like, and it'll be very interesting to see how David Parkhouse does, because like, in games I seen him against Finn Harps this year, I thought he was a real handful. Now, I can say that when Keith's not here, maybe. But, you know, he scored a lot of goals in the league, and he's only 19, just turning 20. Like, so it'll be interesting.
What about the top sides? How did he fare out?
Well, and against the top sides, perhaps maybe the record wasn't as good. I think he only scored one goal against the teams in the top 5. So, like, you'd have to look at that and maybe weigh that up. And, you know, Derry, to be fair, were creating a lot of chances. They were playing good football. But, you know, there's, I suppose, for in Derry, you know, they're going to have to try and replace Parkhouse and Junior Ogedi too, which is not going to be easy for them.
Yeah, the AGM of the FAI is taking place this weekend. The FAI in turmoil at the moment, to say the least. But they did bring their national football exhibition to Letterkenny back in September, and Father Michael Sweeney was honoured at it. It was nice to have it here in the town, right?
Oh, it was. I was at it myself, and it was brilliant. Now, I have to say, and it was nice to see Father Michael Sweeney honoured. You know, he's huge contribution to Donegal soccer down through the years. Like, we're chatting over 5 decades here, like, and you know, hugely popular figure in Donegal soccer and Fuller Field, and it was nice that, like, his family were all there to be recognised in Letterkenny that day.
Yeah, very, very good occasion as well, and great that the FAI came down with that exhibition, Oisin. And as you say, you know, the FAI embroiled in the headlines for all the wrong reasons at the minute for what's going on at the FAI level and the finances and what have you. But, you know, football goes on, coaching goes on at underage level. The League of Ireland will be up and running again in February. Thus, the Senior League, Donegal League, and Ashon Leagues are all continuing. Ladies football is blossoming. So, you know, hopefully things will be sorted out at national level and in the boardroom within the FAI, and be interesting to see what happens today at the AGM as well.
Yeah, I know earlier, Chris, that we touched on athletics, that the amount of underage athletes and even master athletes that went on to represent the country at big championships. Donegal continue to have footballers, be it young men or young girls, involved in Republic of Ireland underage teams. Now, we can't name them all out here, because if we miss one, it's not fair in the rest. So, but yeah, it's good to see that Donegal keep producing these younger players.
And indeed, you have the FAI under 13, under 15, under 17, under 19 leagues with Finn Harps involved in all of them. So there's a little bit of a conveyor belt there. And it's great to see these players coming through. And likewise in ladies soccer, you know, great strides being made from a Donegal perspective. St. Johnstone teenager Tyler Toland, she's had a massive year, signing a professional contract with Manchester City. And of course, it's only a couple of years ago she became the youngest player ever to play senior soccer with the Republic, at just the age of 16. And she's already made an impact, which City has scored against the likes of Atletico Madrid's women's side. So we're going to hear a lot more about her in 2020.
Yeah, she seems to be enjoying life at Manchester City. I've seen her with the photograph of Pep Guardiola.
Absolutely, yeah. Maybe she'll get into the men's team.
Listen, Ryan, we'll bring you back in because Tyler, of course, has been very impressive at club level and international level with the Republic of Ireland, and she's a super, super footballer, so she is. There's also another Donegal girl involved there that's also a super footballer, is Amber Barrett, and she's from your part of the country too.
Yeah, and I think you have to give great credit to Amber. She secured a professional contract with FC Cologne over in the Bundesliga in Germany, and you know it must be a wonderful experience for her to go over there. You know, and I'm sure there's, you know, I don't think she actually speaks German, so she'll have to try and
well, they understand the Milford accent.
Well, I don't know now, but you know she's done quite well over there. Like they wouldn't be one of the strongest teams in the league, but she did score a goal against Holstein Kiel in a cup tie in November or September, sorry, I think it was. And you know she was flying for Piemont, and she probably needed that to make that step up to really establish herself with the women's senior team. Like, and she did score her second international goal in a 1-1 draw with Greece in a European qualifier, and probably a game maybe that Ireland should have won. Like, and like Amber is very, very talented. She always was. Like Patsy was in here on the Athletics. You know, she was brilliant at the Athletics. She was brilliant at the Gaelic. She's brilliant at the soccer as well. And it'll be interesting to see what 2020 holds for her too.
Yeah. Okay, Chris, just back to you. Roman McLaughlin has also played at senior level for the Republic of Ireland, but she's not about over the last year or so. She decided to go to America, and she's continued her good form in America, and she's playing some super football too.
Yeah, and she's over at Central Connecticut State University. Again, like Amber Bartley, you know, she's gone to foreign shores, and it's probably going to help her very much in terms of being involved in the international setup. And during the year, the Irish ladies soccer team, you know, they had a record crowd in Tala for, I think, two games in a row, breaking all records there. So exciting times ahead on the ladies soccer front.